Konnichiwa, Grace Church. It's Pastor Marcus coming at you straight off of a mission trip to Japan, to Tokyo to be exact. And God is doing incredible things overseas. We get an opportunity to speak. I can't wait to talk to each of you about everything that we've witnessed over in Japan and the things that God is doing. I've been excited about this series, though, man, because the whole toxic theme and what this series is about is something that every single person watching this feed, to include myself, needs desperately. This deals with the everyday struggles, and it's something that we try to do as often as possible with God's help here at Grace. I watched Pastor Derek's sermon last Sunday online. I got hyped. I couldn't wait to come back and talk to you guys a little bit about this very topic. So a little bit about myself back in the day. I used to be intrigued with these possession films about evil spirits, demons, and Satan. You know, this house is possessed. This little girl is possessed. This kid was born possessed. And I'd run to the movie theater. And then part two would come out and this house is possessed part two. The exorcism didn't work. And I'm like, my goodness, the exorcism didn't work. I got to see this. And I run back to the movie theater. Silly. I'm happy that I got rid of this genre so many years ago, though. But this is how slick it's gotten nowadays. You know the name of the latest TV offering about Satan is? It's simply titled, wait for it, Lucifer. That's right. The TV networks don't even feel it necessary to bamboozle us anymore with innuendos and applied storylines. Give me just a second to unpack this synopsis for this TV show. You won't believe this. Bored and unhappy as the Lord of Hell, Lucifer Morningstar has abandoned his throne and retired to L.A. where he owns Lux, an upscale nightclub. Charming and charismatic and devilishly handsome, Lucifer is enjoying his retirement, indulging in a few of his favorite things, wine, women, and song, when a beautiful pop star is brutally murdered outside of Lux. For the first time in roughly 10 billion years, he feels something awaken deep within him as a result of this murder. Compassion? Sympathy? The very thought disturbs him, as well as his best friend and confidant, Mizukin, a fierce demon in the form of a beautiful woman. The murder attracts the attention of LAPD homicide detective Chloe Dancer, who initially is dismissive of Lucifer. But she becomes intrigued by his talent for drawing out people's secrets and his desire to dispense justice, doling out punishment to those who deserve it. As they work together to solve the pop star's murder, Lucifer is struck by Chloe's inherent goodness. Accustomed to dealing with the absolute worst of humanity, Lucifer is intrigued by Chloe's apparent purity and begins to wonder if there's hope for his own soul yet. Man, please, you notice how they attempt to humanize Satan? Maybe he isn't God's fiercest opposer. Maybe, just maybe, he's just misunderstood. I'll go with the old-fashioned definition or the old-fashioned knowledge of who Satan truly is. He is God's chief opposer, and he does hate those of us who choose to follow Christ. But now, is this really that surprising when you consider that Charles Manson receives more fan mail than any inmate in prison history, although he orchestrated one of the most heinous strings of homicides in U.S. history? Or that a man like Scott Peterson receives countless marriage proposals in prison, even though he's there for the alleged murder of his pregnant wife, Lacey? Today, we'll focus on four key scriptures. They're in Proverbs 4:23, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, and 22, and 1 Corinthians 6, 12. These passages will give us sound scriptural advice on how to keep from being fatally infected by the toxic environment that we live in today. The first text we're going into is Proverbs 4:23, which reads, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Can you see how this type of entertainment that we just spoke about could be a dilemma for any Christian whose goal it is to guard his or her heart? Now, it isn't just violence or our outlook on the demonic realm that we're questioning today. It's anything that dulls our Christian sensibilities and threatens to take us further away from God. We want to challenge what language we allow into our hearts, what visual imagery we allow into our hearts, what worldly attitudes and outlooks we allow into our hearts. We aren't discussing what flows into our minds or eyes because these things are just gateways. Our mind will process anything we see and hear for a brief time, but whatever it processes regularly starts to take root in our hearts. So we guard our hearts because in the scripture it says, everything you do flows from it. And we know that to be true. This world is inundated with toxicity. It breeds it, feeds off of it, contaminates everything in its path with it. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked, says Proverbs 25:26. Now, from my vantage point, some of the most prevalent side effects of drinking from this muddied spring seems to creep into the church on a regular basis are apathy, laziness, and lack of appreciation. We'll call that disregard. So let's start with apathy. It looks terrible, doesn't it? Absence or suppression of passion, emotion, or excitement. Lack of interest in or concern for things that others find moving or exciting. The Bible gives you a clear scriptural view on this in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I love the word pictures of actually spitting out this lukewarm water. This was Jesus talking to the congregation of Laodicea. The next one is laziness, averse or disinclined to work, activity, or exertion, indolent, causing idleness or indolence. The scriptural view of that is in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. And the last is disregard. To pay no attention to, leave out of consideration, ignore, to treat without due regard, respect, or attentiveness, slight, lack of appreciation. Now, footnote, this one usually manifests itself in the form of wanting something for nothing. Lack of appreciation for what, you may ask, for what was pointed out in John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have eternal life. Do you have that in little regard? At the four-day service event at Erie High, or leading up to it, we experienced all of the above mentioned attitudes and then some. We heard things like, my kids don't go to this school, why should I help? Or the district is just going to let it fall apart again anyways. Others said, man, that's a lot of work and these are some long shifts. I can't do it. I even heard one or two people say, yeah, I readily admit that the school district has helped educate my parents, grandparents, and children, and even me. But it ain't up to me to give back. Any of these sound like you? If so, you may be showing signs of excessive toxic poisoning. And listen, with that list that we just rattled off, let's not forget the biggest killer or the biggest side effect, which is depression, or showing signs of depression from toxicity. I'm sure you asked around. If you asked around, you could have all types of things added to this list. This list isn't absolute. But the point is, we want to have the proper attitude and outlook on such matters, because our environment matters when it comes to the well-being of our souls. The environments we choose and the things we expose ourselves to regularly helps to set the tone for our life experience. This is where mass media can be a toxic killer. Now, on a positive note, though, look at how it's applied here at Grace. Praise and worship, for example. We had our annual meeting a couple of weeks ago. We must have worshiped a good 30 minutes before the meeting started. People are crying, people's hands are in the air, just like on Sunday morning. Why? Because it sets the tone for worship that day. Video. You'll sit down and see video announcements. You'll see videos right here online. Why? Because they help set the tone for worship. Social media. Social media is used extensively here at Grace, whether it's Facebook, YouTube or Instagram, all of these different things, so that we can help bring you a message via that medium. Devotionals and blogging, so you can get writings that bring you some sort of peace and some sort of spiritual education. These things are utilized to help set the tone for our spiritual experience here at Grace. The very things that Satan in the world uses as a negative influence, we utilize but replace the content with life-giving information and imagery, because the content points you to Jesus, the very fountain of life. That brings us to our big idea. The big idea is this: caution, an ounce of poison is worth a pound of good intention. Yes, I kind of borrowed that from a famous saying. Leave that between you and I. So look, fortunately, we have prepared ourselves for this here at Grace. This is a group of our elders on their way to toxic patrol at one of our sites. Now, they make the rounds regularly at all three of these sites. So if you see them, that's what's going on. I think the taller one in front is Tony Gingrich. I'm not sure. Anyhow, Because we're a loving church, we can also dispatch them to your home to keep you from contaminating yourself. There's an extra tithing arrangement that comes along with that service, though, so think carefully before committing. Silly, I know, if only it were that easy. Realistically speaking, we need to look to the scriptures as a guide on these matters, along with countless others. Toxic poisoning is serious, and it can lead to death if we aren't careful about our intake. With that in mind, let me encourage you to take notes, because we're about to give you three things to remember about toxic poisoning. The first is, a little bit of poison goes a long way. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. 1 Corinthians 5:6-7. You know, I was reading an article that quoted homicide stats for male and female perpetrators. Commonly quoted stats show women make up a much larger percentage of murderers who use arson or poison to kill their victims than guns. Women disproportionately commit some 39.5% of all poisonings. So sidebar, guys, if your wife is always giving you your favorite soup when you're sick and the sickness keeps returning, take that soup to a lab and get a sample done, all right? Here's why that method is so popular, though. A medical examiner usually can't tell whether the poison was involved because of the symptoms. Diarrhea, vomiting, abdominal pain, all of these are much like other disorders. Nor could he necessarily place you at the murder scene. The dying typically took hours. Another favorite is ethylene glycol, the top ingredient in antifreeze, among other chemical substances. I moved back from Atlanta in 2005. I remember reading about a Georgia woman named Lynn Turner that was convicted in 2004 of murdering her husband and later her boyfriend by serving them antifreeze, apparently in Jell-O and other food and drinks. A doctor in Houston was indicted last year for allegedly placing ethylene glycol in a colleague's coffee and claiming it was an artificial sweetener, Splenda. The game plan in all of these was simple. Strategically place this poison into things that were palatable and tasty to the victim so that it kills you before you figure out how adversely it's affecting you. That was the whole objective. Be mindful that pretty much everything we enjoy in this day and age is laced with varying amounts of toxic poisons, be it social media, music, visual media, or the company we keep. When we're on a strict diet, we tend to pick up everything we consume, and before tossing it into the basket, what do? We read the label. Regularly check the ingredients of the things you digest with your eyes and ears before you partake. Read the label. Just because everyone does it doesn't make it right. Is our second point. Do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. Romans 12:2. So Satan lowers the standard with such regularity that it's deceptive. This reminds me of an analogy that I heard about Satan years ago, and it stuck with me. You're here, Satan's here. Satan says to you, come on down. You say, no. You know what Satan does is real smooth. Goes down another couple of levels. Come on down. This is what we do. No. He takes it to such a low level of depravity that you would never think about doing that. To take it down another couple of notches to lower the bar doesn't bother your conscience as much as it would have in the past. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That scriptural advice, keep that in your mind. Instead, fix your attention on God. Another example is in the book of Numbers when 12 spies went out to explore Canaan. Now the verdict came back in negative reports. Verse 2, Israel's prevailing attitude was, we can't trust a minority. The majority has got to be right. 10 spies, negative. 2, hold firm. But it's not always about what the crowd approves of. Just because everyone else does it does not make it right. The everybody does it attitude is even more detrimental when the environment you choose is full of people with low standards, even low Christian standards. What we strive for is the complete opposite of low standards. Our goal is to be all in. But even with that being the goal, we need to ask ourselves, what about the people who occupy most of our time? Are they all in with God? All in with family? All in general? Choosing your company and your environment wisely can help or hinder your decision on toxic influences. Brings us to the next point. Just because I could doesn't mean I should. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. We must learn how to discern balancing the freedom we have in Christ with the clear standards God gives us for being set apart in a sinful world. Just because I can watch what I want doesn't mean that I should. Just because I can eat what I want whenever I want doesn't mean that I should, although many of us, myself included, do. Just because I can stay up as late as I want as an adult doesn't mean that I should. The body still needs rest. Just because I can listen to what I want doesn't mean that I should. This reminds me of me growing up with hip hop. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I have to go here. Teenagers, pay close attention to this example, because I watched this thing grow from 14 when this thing hit to 47 where I am right now. When the culture started when I was 14, I was a B-boy. I was a mixtape salesman, a breakdancer. I was fully immersed into this whole hip hop lifestyle, the genre known as gangster rap, which is very popular these days amongst teens of all backgrounds. But I can remember when it became popularized by a group called NWA, Blank with Attitudes. And you can use your imagination and figure out what the N stands for. It's probably the first time in church history a photo of NWA has been shown at church. But give me a second so I can unpack this and let you know where I'm going. To give you a brief history lesson on the rise of this group, millionaires that were heavily invested in privatized prisons at the time also invested in subsidized record labels specializing in this genre. Eazy-E, who's in this group of Ruthless Records, the label that NWA was produced under, was one of the first of these labels. Anyhow, the hope was that if they paid people from the inner city to promote drug dealing, misogyny, prison life, and homicide, that it would create a toxic influence that would alter generations to come, resulting in a revolving door effect for prisons across the country. Now, this is where it gets slick. Simultaneously, as these numbers would rise, they would acquire more privately owned prisons. The same group that invested in this genre was also making investments in private prisons. And they would make billions of dollars from this revolving door created or spurred on by the mindset put out in this music. It takes very little research before you come to the realization that this plan has worked beyond their wildest dreams, sadly. Now, because God created us, he understands that people can become desensitized by toxic environments, situations, and circumstances that they allow into their hearts on a regular basis. Better yet, they become enamored with and enslaved by these things. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Many young people continue to perish, get incarcerated, or become morally crippled because they allow themselves to be mastered, as the scripture points out, by the spirit of this toxic music they breathe in regularly. It sets the tone for their lives. Now, this is just one example of many. We're not laying all of this at the feet of NWA, but it is a profound example of the power of influences that we allow into our hearts and into our mind. We have tremendous freedom in Christ. Now, some of us are strong and we should be lights in a dark place. But some of us are very susceptible to temptation and continue to feed on things that are very, very harmful, opening you up for more temptation. The key passage listed at the outset of this sermon is good to remember when you're trying to discern what to and what not to allow into your system. I want to rest in this third point a bit longer because I believe it's this freedom that we have often that we have that we often take advantage of in a wrong way. Our last key passage reads, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22, Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. A lot of people would say, well, let your conscience be your guide. Makes sense to me. Now, occasionally, that's good advice. For example, when your conscience says, no, this is wrong, we shouldn't do this, that works. A lot of times, you'll talk over your conscience, though. When your conscience does tell you, no, this is wrong, this is a good time to listen to your conscience. The dangerous thing is when your conscience says, well, it's not really a big deal. There's a biblical phrase that says that your conscience can actually be seared in 1 Timothy 4:2. There could be times when there's something that is actually wrong, and after you do it enough, you think, it's no big deal. It hasn't really hurt you. You don't think it's bad now when you know that it actually is, and that it's wrong and dangerous and hurtful to the heart of God, and it poisons your soul. You can know these things, but repetition is the mother of retention. In fact, a lot of people will say, I'm not bothered by such and such, for example. Unmarried people sleeping together. It's all good as long as you love each other. Sidebar again, this is one of the worst pieces of advice. Teenagers, listen closely. I've seen too many adults give this terrible advice. Well, my first time was with somebody that I loved, so it was okay. Not so. But it's an example of you condition your mind to a certain way of thinking, and it's okay. Think about this. Just because it doesn't bother you doesn't mean that it shouldn't bother you. Now, with this sermon today, let me hit you with a warning before we go into the next steps. Choose self-analysis over self-righteousness on this subject. Matthew chapter 7, verses 4 and 5 says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Be a source of encouragement to others, but put your energy primarily into monitoring your own toxic intake and that of your family. Because I can see some of you right now taking notes. You are scribbling, you know, voraciously out there. And you're saying to yourself, soon as this sermon is over, I'm gonna go talk to so-and-so because he or she needs this really bad. I wanna encourage you to look at self where this is concerned. Let's fight against being self-righteous. And all we discussed today, here's a few questions that we can ask ourselves. Am I being entertained by sin? Is this pleasing to God? Does this lure me away from Christ? What little bits of poisons have I allowed into my life? What steps will I take to remove the toxins from my life? What steps am I willing to take? Well, here's the next step. Why not try an environmental toxic cleanse for your soul? They sell toxic cleanses for everything else. Why not fall back or take a break from whatever environment, influences, or entertainment that you expose yourself to that poisons your soul? Like any other cleanse or diet, the longer you go without something or allow it into your system, the more that something is unattractive or even detestable to you. It makes me think about smokers. I know people personally that have stopped smoking, and after a while, it's very common for the very smell of cigarette smoke to disgust that person. It's been out of their system for a long time. They're no longer accustomed to it. Better yet, let's go the next step by not just putting some of these things down, not just falling back from some of these things. Why not, just like we talked about grace, replacing some of these negative images and these negative songs for things that are virtuous? Why not replace time spent on these toxic things? Things like prayer, studying, and really meditating on the scriptures. Why not replace it with these types of things? How about volunteering or engaging in a hobby that relaxes you? So as we're cleansing one thing, replace it with these virtuous things. How about shifting time from the people that have a toxic influence on you to people that want the best for you? For some of you, you may need to go from shifting time to flat out curb kicking some people because they just aren't good for you overall. So as you wean them off, get rid of them altogether. Maybe this is the time that you get serious about getting connected to a life group. You're probably thinking, they mention this every week. That's because it's good for you. It works when you have a team wrapped around you that can help you grow. If that's too intimidating for you right now, consider this. Maybe start with making a strong life connection or two here at church with all in people. That might be a little easier for some before they take the step to go into a life group. Find that person that you just feel like, man, I feel this person feels like they're digging me a little bit. Let's see if we can get together over a cup of coffee, grow that thing, and over time, you never know. Psalms chapter 24, verse 3 says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." A bit of poison goes a long way. So guard your heart, not your mind, because that's the gateway. Guard your heart. A pure heart will lead to clean hands via your actions in the eyes of God. God bless you.